or of his stall while he did his business. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News Radio.
Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. So happy that you joined us on the broadcast today. We're going to talk about the subject of Christian films. Faith and Films is what I've entitled the blog for the program today. And I think many people in our listening audience are certainly aware of the power of film. You can really convey a very powerful message by way of either documentary or Christian films or, you know, films in general. It's a very powerful medium that is being used today. Most oftentimes, it's not being used in a good way. It's being used in ways that are putting forth views and doctrines and teachings and perspectives that are not Christian. Well, we wanted to take an opportunity on the program here today to talk about a couple of filmmakers, a few that are right here in the upstate of South Carolina, and to talk about a couple of the projects that they currently have underway. And so we're going to do that on the broadcast today. Recently, I was over at the Teach Them Diligently conference. It took place, I guess, 3 weeks to a month ago or so here in Spartanburg, South Carolina. And when I was over there, I did a number of interviews, and two of the interviews that I did over there, we saved and for a broadcast like this so we could combine them together. The first one that I did was with Colin Gunn. You may remember my interview with Colin Gunn about his recent documentary called Indoctrination. That was a look at the public school system and what was taking place in the public school system. Well, he also now has a current project underway that after asking him a little bit about indoctrination, I then asked him about his current project, which, by the way, deals with the subject of Obamacare pretty specifically. More generally, he looks at the area of health care in the United States. And so it's a very interesting documentary. It's currently in production. I think they started production yesterday, if I remember right. And so I want to talk about this one a little bit, and you'll hear Colin talk about that as well. On the second segment of the program today, I wanted to speak with Dave Cristiano. Dave and his brother, Rich, they have put together a number of Christian films. And I speak with Dave, who, by the way, their website is www.christianfilms.com. You'll see that they have a whole series of films that they've released out there at christianfilms.com. So I talked to him a little bit about some of those films, but in a much more general way, I talk with Dave about the importance of Christian films and what separates their Christian films from other Christian films. In fact, I talk with Dave about, you know, I get a lot of invitations because of the nature of what I do here on the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast to go and to preview some of these films before they come out. I get an email invitation or I'll get a call from the producers and asking if I was interested in going to this screening, you know, before it's released in theaters or on video. And so go there and I watch the films, and then they ask for feedback afterwards. And inevitably, one of the questions is, you know, do you consider this to be a Christian film or whatever? And it's very difficult because what do you actually mean by a Christian film? Do you mean that it is just, you know, something that is doesn't have any swearing in it, something that is family friendly. Is that what you mean by Christian film? Or do you mean something that has a evangelistic message in it? Is that what you mean by a Christian film? So I discussed that a little bit with Dave Cristiano, that maybe we need another category there. And then finally on the program today, I want to make sure that you're aware of a project that's taking place by a fellow by the name of Mark Cochran. Mark is right here in the upstate of South Carolina. He's got a new project underway, and his project is actually something that you can be a part of. And I'm going to tell you more about that, but he's got a website as well set up, and that's called firstdonoharmfilm.net. That's firstdonoharmfilm.net. And that film is a pro-life film, very interesting. It's going to go into production later on this summer, but it's something that you can actually play a part in. They're currently raising money for that film, and if different levels of giving on the film will enable you to have different perks, like a walk-on onto the film, or we'll talk a little bit more about that as we go on with the program. Let's first go and listen to my interview, and you can watch the interview, by the way, out on sermonaudio.com. If you're out on sermonaudio.com/knowingthetruth, you can actually watch my interviews there with the various folks that I just mentioned a few moments ago. And if you're listening in your car or here in the upstate of South Carolina, you can go ahead and listen to the broadcast here, the interview that I do first with Colin Gunn. Let's go to that right now, and then we'll carry on from there. Walked into the Teach Them Diligently convention here in Spartanburg, and I bump into Colin Gunn here. Colin's been on my program before. We talked about his most recent documentary called Indoctrination, that looked at the public school system. Found out that Colin is actually involved in another documentary. This one seems to be very interesting as well, and so I wanted to get Colin here. He was literally standing right here talking when I walked up, and so I said, Colin, can we get you to sit down for a couple minutes for an interview to talk with you about what you're working on? And he said, sure. He said, when's a good time? I said, now? And he said, okay. So that's what we're doing, and so glad in the providence of the Lord that we were able to get together with him here. Colin, thank you so much for taking the time out to visit with us.
Oh, my really pleasure. It's good to meet you in person. We've talked before, and this is a blessed time coming here to Teach Them Diligently. I've been doing a few lectures, and I'm finished for the day. So excellent. I'm just milling about and meeting friends and enjoying it very much.
Excellent. What were you speaking on specifically?
Well, I had several lectures, but we're mainly, I'm representing the Indoctrination Project here. Mm-hmm. So we have a book out for the film. So a lot of people have seen the film now.
Yep.
So just recently we brought the book out, and it has every chapter is written by someone in the film, so it's a decent book. It's a nice book. It's published by Master Books, New Leaf Press,
yep,
and so I'm here with them, and we're here to letting people know about that. But I've been talking about different aspects of our film, how we produced it, the reason we produced it, and also counseling some of the homeschoolers on how they should talk to public schooling parents, because that's been my job over the last couple
right,
of years,
right.
Is being an apologist for homeschooling, but also an antagonist against the public schools. That's
how's that going?
It's going very well. You know, we've made as many enemies as friends,
yeah.
But it's worthwhile to be pretty pushy on this subject. There's an urgency to it. You know, if you meet someone who has their kids in public schools,
yeah.
You have, a duty as a Christian to communicate to them if you know the truth about the dangers of public schooling,
sure.
And they are significant physical and spiritual dangers. It's your moral obligation to counsel them to take their kids out of those schools.
I think I received a copy of the book from the folks over there at the Exodus Mandate.
Oh, yeah.
And so I visited their booth at another convention,
right.
And they gave me a copy of the book then.
Excellent.
And so you're right. It does look very good, pretty good size.
It's a thick book, and there's a ton of information. It's got some of the best writers. R.G. Rushdoony's in there, Howard Phillips in there, Doug Phillips is in there, we've got Ken Ham is in the book as well, R.C. Sproul Jr. And so we've just, it's a tremendous book, a great resource for homeschoolers that want to, you know, beef up on their arguments and be equipped to be able to handle their apologetic about homeschooling.
Sure.
it is very delicate, and you've got to approach the subject tenderly
right.
with folks that are in the public uh-huh. school system
yeah.
or have their children in the public school system, because a lot of times they don't know, right, of the problems that are in there. And, you know, so what is your counsel
right.
to people that about how they should breach that subject? What would you say?
Well, you have to be winsome when you talk to people. And it's not that we're not just putting out punditry for our own gain. Mm-hmm. We're not trying to just create attention. We really do have a love for those that just don't know.
Yeah.
And so we know those people that are Christians, but they're using the public schools. A lot of the time, it's just because they don't know. In our culture, the vast majority of people use the public school system, so for them to be different would actually take a considerable shift.
Sure.
And so some of us who have gone through that shift have something to say to them,
mm-hmm.
and it's not out of pride, it's not because we're smarter, it's just that we got the information when we could, and we've acted upon it. And so our exhortation is based upon the knowledge that we've learned, which includes our understanding of Scripture, to show people their responsibility in the training of their children, and not abdicating that responsibility and surrendering it to another party, particularly the government.
Sure.
So the information in our film, it is challenging for those that use public schools, but what we find is a lot of people just don't know any of the information. They don't know the history of the public school movement. They don't really know what's going on in their own public school. You know, a lot of people have real wishful thinking. You know, the main argument that's presented to me all the time is not in my school. My school's different.
Yeah.
Of course, that is not true. You know, the way that the schools are designed from the top down, the Department of Education has a significant impact on every school in America. All the teachers go through secular training to become a teacher because they have to be licensed.
Sure.
And so you can't escape it. And also you can't escape the peer pressure. You can't escape the other kids in the classroom. And as much as you would hope even the rural schools would escape some of the worst, which they do to some extent, but in a small extent, the sins are all that we are outlining in the film indoctrination, the homosexual propaganda, the access of Planned Parenthood to the child, the unbelief that's taught and implied in the teaching of all subjects. Those things are right there in every single school.
What's been the reception? Have people been open then, or have you got some really good testimonials of people that saw indoctrination
Absolutely.
And then
yep.
said, you know, that really opened my eyes as to what was taking place?
I think it's the best thing anyone can hear is that their film has been put to use as we intended it to be. You know, the film is a package that can be passed along. So we hear it all the time that, you know, someone lent me your DVD and I was really affected by it. And they made a decision based on the content. I don't think it's always just our film. It's usually a combination of the context that they're in. You know, they're talking to other homeschoolers or they're already been thinking about it. But media is effective in that it takes someone and really puts them on a spot. We give a lot of information in a short period of time. And we make people feel a particular way about the schools. Media has that effect that you can, you know, we have years of propaganda in favor of the schools and television and all the positive stories. Here's us showing you the reality. And so we hear it all the time. Now, we haven't seen as many people watch the film as we'd want to. You know, it's difficult to get into churches. There's not a lot of churches that are willing to show the film. There are some, but very often we get the story of, oh, I wanted to show it at my church, but the pastor or the elders wouldn't show it they don't want to offend anybody.
Right.
We don't think the film's offensive. We go out of the way to make sure that it isn't, but that issue is a touchy subject, as you know.
I wanted to ask you about the church. Ben, what is your general impression? Has the church really been somewhat negligent on this issue about really making this part of their counsel to the people in their congregation, the pastors
right.
in particular?
Oh, absolutely. We have to love the church and honor the church, respect it, and we don't attack the church in our film.
Yeah.
We're calling the church to repentance on this issue. And the difficulty for us as we see it is that we've had to go around the church, generally speaking, straight to individuals in the pews with this story, and they become our grassroots and they distribute our message to other people in the pews. But the leadership of the church in general, and talking about evangelical, reformed, and Protestants, hasn't been that great. There's no tidal wave that's coming based on a change of heart, which is absolutely necessary. And, you know, the way I look at it is these pastors will, it will affect their church one way or the other. They'll maybe lose a family or two by speaking out on it now, or they'll lose the next generation by not speaking out on it. And I think that's much worse.
Yeah. Well, it's encouraging to be here today. There's 7,000 homeschoolers here at this particular convention, so that must be encouraging to you.
Absolutely.
In some sense. We've been talking about the failure and the danger of public education. Your next documentary deals with the subject of the failure and the danger of public health care system. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting that it parallels as we looked into this topic. You know, we're looking, what else are we going to talk about? Health in America is another significant, one of the next significant to education factors in our life. And it's one of the other areas where government is intruding almost in every aspect of healthcare. You know, we sometimes think we have a free market in healthcare. Well, it's not true at all. The government has been intervening in the health market for a century or more, and we've borne the brunt of it. The Christians don't have the liberty that you would want them to have in healthcare. I want people to realize that it's similar to the public schooling problem, where the government takes control of the system. And instead of it being education in those schools, it's something else, and we call it indoctrination. Now, there's a similar thing happening in healthcare, where when they take control of it, it doesn't become it isn't healthcare anymore. It serves their own ends. And so what we find in the socialist mindset, that healthcare system becomes the factory of control for the nation in terms of access, in terms of how people, you know, live their lives and are controlled. But most significantly, abortion, eugenics, and euthanasia come along the more statist the government becomes, because ultimately those things fit into their worldview. And so we have to, you know, there's no neutrality in education, there's no neutrality in healthcare. Each operates according to their own perspective and worldview. And if it's off, and if it's wrong, or if it's secular and supposedly neutral, which of course is the myth about the public schools, well, there's a myth about neutral healthcare. So this system we call healthcare, you know, for example, the average life expectancy of an American male is 34. If you average an abortion. So if you look at healthcare as a section, or, you know, an industry on its own, and if you include all of the things that it does and then fails to do, you know, proper counseling in the midst of the consequence of sin, which is a very important part for Christians, that we don't see healthcare as a sort of mechanical process out there on its own. We would connect healthcare to spiritual work and pastoring and counseling so that you heal the whole person. And we know that there's a lot of consequence of sin in people's life that result in health problems. And so we need to talk about that, and we do in the film. And, of course, the way the world wants to orient it is that every Christian will be responsible to subsidize the sin of everyone else. And that is a significant problem. So we'll be paying for abortion. For example, in the UK system, you pay for sex change operations. You pay for rehab for people with substance abuse problems. Now, I don't have a problem with paying for it, but I would want it to be voluntary, and I'd want it to be accompanied by the gospel so that it's effective. But of course, in the secular world, it's just all, they take your money and they put it into things that are ineffective. And it's a pattern that we see in the public school system, where they take huge amounts of money away from us. So we always think of healthcare. Healthcare is very expensive. Education is very expensive, but it's like that because of the government intrusion. This money is siphoned away. There's price controls and fixings and mandates and all these things that the local states have done, but the federal government has done to make insurance very expensive for us. And Obamacare is sort of the icing on the cake of bad decisions that affect the pricing mechanism. So we're advocating a free market in healthcare like we do with education. And, of course, that works out best, in my opinion, in homeschooling. In healthcare, we're looking at that similar thing, personal responsibility for health, doctors that are independent from Medicare and Medicaid, and all third-party pay. You know, third-party pay is such a significant issue because it dissociates the individual from the actual process of the economics. So all those things, that's what we're covering in this new film.
I've had my own personal experience with this, tried to take back some of my own health care.
Right.
I was just concerned about what I was seeing in my own doctor's office, and just thinking that this has become a little bit too manufactured, you know, that there's one-size-fits-all approach to people coming in. And so anyways, I tried to take back a little bit of my own responsibility for my own health. They actually stamped my file as non-compliant. And so they said to me one time when I called, I asked a question on something, and they said, well, Mr. Bowling, your file has been stamped non-compliant. So that's how I found out about it, because I wouldn't go along with everything that they had recommended. Right. Are we basically talking that this has become politicized, or it's even deeper than that, where we're talking about the difference between life and death?
Well, yeah, when whoever pays for healthcare will settle the score. So it's nice. It's a nice idea to have a third party pay for everything, but it's not a nice idea to have a third party decide every single decision, especially when there's a switch that they might flick to turn your life off at some point.
Yeah.
And decisions in terms of what kind of care you can get. Christians bump into this all the time. With they want to live a life that's different, you know, away from vaccines, away from general advice that is supposedly the wisdom of the day, and they get into trouble for it. Well, that can only get worse. But, you know, like the public schools serving their own interests, their own agenda, a nationalized healthcare system does serve its own the interests of the state, the political class that it seeks to uphold and serve for votes. Putting our health in the hands of politicians is a very foolish thing to do. People like the idea of redistribution of wealth, but the best form of redistribution is charitable care, and there's less, you know, misallocation of funds when that happens. So I advocate the tithe, advocate the church being central to the distribution of that tithe with wisdom, and that should be the source, one of the sources of our health care. That and personal responsibility would be the solution to this. There's other ministries as well, like Samaritan Ministries is a good example. And that's a cost-sharing ministry where Christians share the costs of health needs amongst themselves. So there's many options out there. The problem is Christians themselves are negligent in looking into this and establishing what would be Christian health care. And it's quite
complicated.
Well, it is complicated, but nothing that's worth doing is easy, and we have to look into these things. Homeschooling, although there's a simplicity to it at the end of it in just getting your kids out of the public schools, there's responsibility there that you need to have, and knowledge you need to have, and it's the same for health. And so it is a complicated issue. That's what we want to make a film on. It's to inform Christians what their options are, because it's only going to get worse in terms of the way the government is going, intruding into people's lives, and it'll make a very expensive, inaccessible system that won't be favorable towards the Christian worldview.
So the bottom line, that Christians take more responsibility for these various things that they're involved in, the teaching of their own children, and even to the point of health care as well, taking responsibility for their own health care as well as being available or helpful to the health care of others that are around the
Absolutely, the Good Samaritan principle. And you think of one of the biggest expenses in America in terms of health care is the elderly. Well, there's an example where Christians should have that down already, but they don't. Who's responsible for mom and dad? Well, it's the kids, and you're responsible to take care of them just as they were responsible to take care of you when you were young. And so the responsibility is on you, and that includes the costs. And, of course, the costs in the public system is astronomical, but at home, like in homeschooling, the costs are in comparison are tiny. And so there is a healthcare solution. It'll take a lot of people changing their life to accommodate their own responsibilities, the tasks that God has given them to do.
Right. Well, Colin, certainly appreciate, love the indoctrination.
Thank you.
You guys did an excellent job the way that you put it together. I did show it in my church.
Thank you.
And we didn't lose anybody over. And so thank you so much for doing that work. Looking forward to this one, because I'm confused about healthcare. I would love to know more. Looking forward to your documentary, spelling that out for us and helping us to be able to understand that. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you for having me on your show. Thank you.
Really appreciate it.
Okay, that was my interview there at Teach Them Diligently with Colin Gunn. As you can hear, it looks like this is going to be a very, very interesting film that he's coming out with, and a timely film as we find out more and more about the health care that's been put into actually a bill, not a bill, an actual law right now, the Affordable Care Act. Not appropriately named. Obamacare is the way that most people think about it. So we're going to be able to learn much more about that when Colin comes out with his brand new documentary. Looking forward to that taking place. When that happens, I'll make sure that we get Colin back on the broadcast here and make sure that you're aware of it. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back from the break, we're going to go ahead and tell you about some more Christian films. We're going to speak with Dave Cristiano. Had an opportunity to speak with him about Christian films as well at the very same convention. And let me tell you, out on Sermon Audio right now, if you're watching via Sermon Audio, you're going to get to see some information about another project that's taking place by Mark Cochran. And that project is referred to as First Do No Harm. And you can see that out at their website. I'll give you that when we come back from the break, but you'll get a chance to watch it there. See you.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
A new society called the Christian Eugenics Society has just formed with the motto, A Humane Eugenics for a Better Future. On the next Janet Mefford Show, we'll take a look at this oxymoronic development of Christian eugenics with Jim Sedlak, Vice President of American Life League. And a California bill wants to remove tax exemptions from the Boy Scouts and other values-oriented youth organizations. Brad Dacus from the Pacific Justice Institute will weigh in. That's all next time on the Janet Mefford Show.
Today at 3 on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9 FM.
Is there a correlation between music and rebellion? Trace Embry says a most definite yes today on Licensed to Parent.
Have you noticed a correlation between the time your teenager lost interest in the things of God and the time he gained interest in some pretty rough music? Take it from someone who works with troubled teens every day. Music is deeply spiritual. You might be aware of spiritual warfare, but few of us see music, as Frank Zappa once observed, as a tremendous indoctrination tool. Our kids' interests suddenly change, and we wonder why. We don't make the correlation between music and the rebellion. But that's precisely why music is so effective. Its influence transcends articulation. If your child's music puts a check in your spirit, it might be time for some new rules in your home.
Trace Embry is the founder and executive director of Shepherd's Hill Academy. Learn more at LicensedToParent.org.
Personal Defense Outfitter is here to help you equip, train, and defend. We offer quality handguns, shotguns, and rifles with competitive pricing and a family-friendly atmosphere. We also offer training classes, including CWP, with highly trained instructors who make the classes enjoyable and informative. Whether you're looking to equip yourself with a quality firearm or seeking training, come by Personal Defense Outfitter, 12 South Main Street, Travelers Rest, or call 864-601-2097. That's Personal Defense Outfitter, your home to equip, train, and defend.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the second segment of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast today. We're talking about the broad category that we're looking at is the idea of Christian faith and films. The way that the Christian faith is being portrayed or is being, put forth in Christian films that are being put out as well. First half of the broadcast, we spoke with Colin Gunn. Colin has created a number of films or documentaries that he has done. The most recent one that we talked with him about was Indoctrination. If you didn't get a chance to see that, I would recommend that you do. There's an accompanied, there's a book that accompanies the film now as well. Second part of the broadcast here today, we want to talk with, or you want to play an interview that I did with Dave Cristiano as well. And Dave Cristiano and his brother Rich are the principals behind what's called ChristianFilms.com. You can go out to that website and you'll see all sorts of Christian films out there. Let's listen to my conversation with Dave Cristiano about what really makes a Christian film and what sets ChristianFilms.com apart from other filmmakers.
I've been continuing to walk through the exhibit hall here at the Teach Them Diligently convention in Greenville or Spartanburg, South Carolina. And as I was walking through the hall, I had the opportunity to meet with Dave Cristiano. Dave and his brother Rich, you may know that name, because they have been producing Christian films for some time now. So I got in a conversation with Dave and thought, hey, we got to run Dave over here to the microphone and to the cameras in order to introduce him to you if you're not familiar with his and his brother's work, and also to let you get a little bit of a sneak peek into what's coming up in their ministry. So with that, Dave, welcome to the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Thanks, Kevin. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it a lot. Okay.
Dave, tell us a little bit about your background. How did you and your brother get started in this, and when did that all happen?
Yeah, my brother and I both, I became a Christian in 1979, Rich in 1980, but we got involved in the Christian film ministry in 1985. We shot our first film, which was a 26-minute drama called The Daylight Zone. It was like a Christian version of the old TV series, The Twilight Zone.
Mm-hmm.
So we started back then, and back in the first three or four films we did, films were released on 16-millimeter reels, and they were shown in churches back in the late 80s. But then when video came on the scene and eventually DVDs where we're at now, things changed. So through the course of the year, of the years, we have done 13 films. The last four films we've done, we put in theaters. Let's go back to 2002. We did a movie called Time Changer, which is a Christ-centered film, strong message for Christ, that we're able to put in theaters. It played in a little over 300 theaters in 2002. This was a theatrical distribution company that my brother and I set up and worked hard to try to do. It was really hard trying to put a film in the theater. So in 2002, we did the movie Time Changer, and in 2006, did a movie about UFOs called Unidentified, again with a strong Christian message dealing with that theme. In 2008, we released a love story called Me and You, Us Forever, that also played in theaters. And then in 2009, did a movie called The Secrets of Jonathan Sperry. This played in over 300 theaters, so it was a wider release for us. And then our last film we just did, we did a co-production, and it came out in 2012. It was a non-theatrical release called Amazing Love, the story of Hosea. Basically, we released it for churches, for church rental, and now it's on DVD where people can watch it on DVD. But through the course of the year, we've done 13 films. Our whole goal is to make sure every movie's got a message for Christ, either for evangelism or Christian living. We're not trying to hide Jesus. We're not ashamed of Jesus. We're trying to proclaim Jesus. And that's what's rewarding with the work we've been doing. And we've seen a lot of changes through the years. As I said, films used to come out on 16mm, then videotape, now DVD. Now we've got online viewing starting to come on. And, of course, you know, trying to put a movie in the theater, a Christ-centered film in the theater, is a hard thing to do.
Sure.
But you reach people that way, and that's why we're trying to do it.
What's your general assessment, then, of the Christian reception of Christian films?
My thought is that most people are not aware of Christian films. In other words, most Christians, people that profess to be Christians or claim to be Christians or go to church, don't seek out Christian films, don't seek out Christ-centered entertainment. They seem to be satisfied with the stuff that Hollywood's throwing down, which we all know is really against God, against Christ, against the Bible. I mean, think of all the Hollywood films that curse the name of Jesus, use his name as a swear word.
Sure.
Virtually almost every film does.
Right.
Think of all the nudity and the language in Hollywood films. This, to me, is what's corrupting America, and it's even corrupting the church, really. So we're trying to encourage people to turn, you know, seek out Christian films. And when I refer to a Christian film, my definition of a Christian film is a movie that's got a message for Christ.
Right.
I'm not referring to just a family film or a G-rated film. I'm talking about something that's going to present the person or the presence of Jesus, either evangelistic or something Christian living, but tie him into it.
Right.
So,
speaking of that, you know, I get invited to a lot of screenings for new films because of the nature of the radio broadcast. And so sometimes when I go there, they'll show the film, and then they'll say, they'll have a little time afterwards where they have you fill out a little form and what did you think about the film and would you recommend it and so forth. And I always struggle with that very thought right there. They'll say, this was a Christian film. And I'll say, well, I think we need other categories. Because do you mean Christian film in the sense that it's just a wholesome film?
Yeah.
Little House on the Prairie or something that I would recommend to my friends to watch? Or do you mean Christian film in the way you're using it, where the message of the gospel is actually overtly spoken of during that film?
This is the dangers. This is the danger of what's going on now. You've got a lot of people coming out. Because of the digital revolution where people can shoot films digitally, you got a lot more productions coming out. But I say this to you, 9 out of 10 movies in your local Christian bookstore do not have a message for Christ, will not mention the name of Jesus, don't mention his name. It's like they want nothing to do with them. We're going to present some sort of good moral, but a good moral doesn't, I mean, a person can have the best morals they want their whole life, live their entire life with good morals.
Right.
But if they don't have Christ, they're not going to heaven when they die. Okay, so you got these people coming to churches, doing these screenings like you're talking about you're going to.
Yeah.
We're coming out with this Christian film. It doesn't have Jesus in it. There's no message for Christ. There's no gospel presented. Well, we want your church to support our film.
Yeah.
The motive to me is money. It's certainly not Christ. Now, see, I come from this thinking. The devil's not against G-rated films. He's not against X-rated films. R-rated films, PG-13, PG-G, family films. He's not against any of that. He's against Christ. He wants Kevin and Dave to live our life without Jesus. Doesn't care what we do, just do without Christ. And my thinking is that, look, everybody hearing us on this broadcast, everybody needs Christ in their life. Everybody needs Christ. So the goal of the devil and the world system is to set up, it's a Christless world we live in. So if we're going to call it a Christian film, let's make sure it has Christ. I want to add one other thing. We have this example. Let's say you and I were going to go see a martial arts film. So Kevin and I are going to go watch a martial arts film. So we go to the theater and we walk out of the theater and say, there was no martial arts in that film. That's not a martial arts film. But people want to put out Christian films with no Christ. And to me, that's darkness. That's not light.
Yeah.
It is a real issue now in the day and age. And to me, the motive is what I said earlier.
Yeah.
It's just to make a dollar. It's certainly not to proclaim Christ,
right?
Because they're not doing it.
Michael Horton, in his book, I had him on the program. He had a book entitled Christless Christianity. And in the introduction of the book, he starts off with what would it be like if the devil was in complete control of everything? And he said that most people's opinion is, you know, that there would be havoc and murder and all this stuff taking place. And he paints the picture of, no, it would be pretty similar to what we see now. The churches would be full, but what would be missing would be the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
There would be no preaching of Christ at all. A Christless Christianity.
Yeah.
And I think to many people in evangelicalism today, that's a shocking notion. They don't really realize or acknowledge that that's where we're at in modern-day evangelicalism.
Yeah.
You see it in the film industry, though.
Yeah, I think that, first of all, I think the number one tool in the hand of the devil in society today is Hollywood, music, media, the entertainment industry. He's deceived so many people in America and the church, okay?
Yes.
Very few people are living for Christ. Very few people can say that Jesus is the most important person to me. First of all, there's nothing more important than the salvation of your soul.
Amen.
I saw a poll recently, my brother mentioned this to me, that I think it was Barna, they did a poll where they interviewed people who were Christians and said, what's the most important decision you made in your life? And only 20% of them said that I received Jesus Christ in my life. Now, something's wrong there.
Yeah.
That's something's very, very wrong. I mean, I value Christ. I realize he is the most important person, nothing more important than the salvation of my soul, and I'm very thankful for it.
Yeah.
And I want to live for Christ. My brother and I, since we started, our whole goal is to try to do films that have a strong message for Christ, either evangelism or Christian living. We're trying to win people to Jesus, point them to Jesus, get them to think about Jesus. We're not trying to hide Jesus. We're not ashamed of Jesus.
Right.
But sadly, there's a lot of filmmakers out there that are.
Yeah.
And it's like, to me, they're just, either they're not saved, they don't really know Jesus, but something's not quite right.
Yeah.
And it's sad because the majority of the people out there, that's the way they think, that we can do a movie, call it Christian, have no Jesus, and everything's fine. And the devil loves it.
Sure. You know? I think that some of the secular world has looked at the Christian film industry and said, hey, there's money to be made here as well. And so they may, like you say, they're not even saved themselves and trying to produce a Christian film, and they don't even understand the gospel themselves and have not no relationship with Christ.
People ask me this question, how come Hollywood doesn't make more Christian films? Well, first of all, you got to be redeemed to make a Christian film. I mean, God's going to make a real Christian film. It's going to be a born-again believer, a guy that knows Christ.
Sure.
Okay? And, you know, these two professors, I'll give you this information real quick. These two professors did a survey of the creative decision makers in Hollywood. This is a while ago, but it's reflective of how it is. Here's the results they came up with. They surveyed a good number of the creative decision makers in Hollywood. 55% of the guys they answered the survey said they were atheists. 96% said they did not attend any church at all. So people wonder why there's no Christian films coming to Hollywood. You don't have any Christians to make the films out there.
Right.
It's the world.
Right.
They're into the world. They're into the world system. And just, they're not into trying to proclaim Christ. So there's a few Christian filmmakers in the country, just a few guys that God has, you know, raised up or put in their heart to try to do Christ-centered films. I'm thankful that we're, Rich and I, God's allowed us to do it. It's not been easy. None of this has been easy.
So would you advocate there'd be two schools of thought there then? One would say, well, then we need to infiltrate that, and we've got to get Christian-trained filmmakers, and they've got to get up there in Hollywood and make some Christian film. Others would say,
I would say
it's not going to work. You're going to have to start your own film company.
I would say, I'd say, first of all, you're not going to go to the devil's den and make a dent.
Yeah.
Do what we've done. We've been able to put Christ-centered films in theaters, bypassing Hollywood, just dealing directly with theater owners. We've never had a problem with any theater saying we don't want to show your film because it's Christian. The theaters are in the business of showing films, and their whole thing is, hey, can you put some people in the seats?
Right.
Because they make money from people to come to come in to see these films.
Right.
So we've never had a problem trying to approach the theater, thankfully, of putting a Christ-centered film in the theater. Because they, you know, the Christians are a consumer group. It's a large consumer group. You know, I saw the latest poll says over 100 million people go to church every week. Now, another thing my brother and I have done, we produced a TV series called 7th Street Theater. This was the first ever dramatic, Christ-centered TV series in the history of broadcasting. It came out in 2007. Now, think about this, Kevin. If over 100 million people go to church every week, supposedly they love Jesus, I should have the highest rated show on TV with 7th Street Theater.
Right.
But it's not the case. Because most people really, they're just not into Christ or seeking out Christ-centered entertainment. You're too comfortable in this world we live in. This is an issue we're going to address in our next film. I can tell you about this briefly.
Yeah, I want to. I want to go to that film. Let me just zero in on one of your previous ones, and then I want to learn about what you got on the burner here and what's going to be coming out. I picked this one up off of your table here. This one is about Death Row. Title of it. Tell me what's in it.
Okay, I mentioned to you the TV series. 7th Street Theater is a half-hour TV series. It airs on about 9 or 10 of the smaller Christian networks, but it's on DirecTV and Dish TV.
Okay.
And, you know, a number of people have seen the show, but in season 3, I have 3 seasons, there's 64 episodes. In season 3, which comes out later this year, we did a special evangelistic episode called Death Row. Mm. And it's simply about this. It's a guy on death row with 3 hours to live, and he asked for a preacher to come to talk to him. Now, a guy that's on death row with 3 hours to live is an interesting guy to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like, if you want to know what's really important in life, listen to a man that's on death row.
Mm-hmm.
But of all the works that Rich and I have been able to do, it's the most evangelistic work we've done. The whole purpose of death row is to try to shoot something that would lead a person directly to Christ. The movie talks about heaven, hell, talks about sin, presents the gospel, explains what it means to be born again. Actually, I said it's a movie. It's a program because it's an episode from the TV series, but it's a special episode.
Okay.
We're proud of the work from this standpoint, and we really felt like that all the elements came together. It's got a little twist at the end. It's gotten a good response from people that have watched it because it explains the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can't save a soul, and you can't save a soul. All you and I can do is tell people the gospel of Christ, that Jesus died for their sins, was buried, rose again from the dead. We can share Christ. But the Spirit of God's got to wake the dead. He's got to let people believe and come to know Him. So that's what we tried to do with Death Row. It's a tool that somebody could use to try to lead someone to Christ, and they don't even have to be there. I think a person could watch Death Row and come to Christ on their own. That's the way it was produced and set up. So we're happy about that work and thankful for the response we're getting from it. And that's what that is.
Excellent. Tell us about, you got two projects.
Okay, my brother Rich and I, we are planning, this is 2013, and we were shooting two films this year, Lord willing, they're on the schedule. The first one is shooting, it starts shooting May 22nd, and it's called A Matter of Faith. And the storyline is this. There's a Christian girl is going to college for her freshman year. Now, she's a Christian. She's a biology major, and her biology professor is a staunch evolutionist. And he starts to affect her beliefs. And her father catches wind of this, and he's going to try to rescue his daughter, to do something about it. So it's dealing with the creation versus evolution issue out there.
Okay.
It's in a college setting. We've worked hard on the script. We're happy with the way the script plays out and how it is. We think it's a really important issue to deal with.
Amen.
I mean, if you want to shake the foundation of people, if a person doesn't believe that God created the heaven and earth, you've got an issue.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've got an issue.
I had Ken Ham in this seat a few minutes ago.
Okay.
I did an interview with him about a Christian school here that was under attack for teaching that very message.
Yeah.
So you're right.
It's a problem out there because, for example, in shooting this film, we approached a Christian university that didn't want to let us shoot our film on their campus because they themselves are shaking on the creation issue. I'm talking about a Christian university.
Yeah.
I'm talking about a secular university.
Yeah.
I mean, the one thing we've learned is that the secular universities and schools teach evolution as if it's fact.
Right.
Evolution is not fact at all. It's a religion, really. It's a belief system is what it is.
That's
certainly not scientific fact.
Right.
There's nothing there. So, so we're hitting it, and Lord willing, the film will come out. I mean, the plan is to release this film in theaters in April of 2014.
Okay.
Try to get it out in 300 or 400 theaters. Try to be the widest release. But we got to shoot it first,
right.
Do the best job we can, edit it, and then work on the theatrical release, which is hard to do, but we'll work on it.
Okay.
And then the second project that shoots later this year is called Power of the Air. And this is a movie that deals with the message that I've been sharing here at this convention about how Hollywood is infiltrating people's lives too much, and that the media and Hollywood, how greatly it affects your lives and how it's deceiving people. We're talking about power of the air, power of the airwaves is the idea there.
Yeah.
So it's a hard-hitting drama to try to get Christian people and the people to look at the entertainment choices they make, look at the media choices they make, and say, wait a minute, this is all anti-Christ, against God, against Christ, against the Word. I need to make some changes in my life. Now, the goal with the Power of the Air, we're not planning to bring it out theaters because we can't imagine a theater that would want to show it.
Right.
It's a movie that's trying to say, hey, wait a minute, take a look at these films you're going to see in the theater.
Exactly.
I mean, most movies curse the name of Jesus. A lot of them have nudity. A lot of them have bad language. Why is a Christian watching that stuff?
Yeah.
It's garbage.
Right.
So the idea is to try to do a church rental release where we can get thousands of churches across this country to show Power of the Air to their congregation and say, hey, let's take a look inside here and see if we need to make some changes. So these are the two projects ahead. No film is easy. You know, we're thankful for all the projects we've been able to do. We're excited about Christ, and we want to try to do the very best work that we can.
Excellent.
But, you know, it's hard. It's not easy.
Yeah.
And you press on.
Amen. So, Dave, tell people how they can find out more. Give me
the
website.
I have a website called, it's christianfilms.com is my website,
okay.
christianfilms.com. And our TV series, 7th Street Theater, has its own website, 7thstreettheater.com. But it's also on christianfilms.com, too. But christianfilms.com, we have all of our films that we've done, plus other films. I distribute about 65 films on that website. Every one of them's got a message for Christ. That's the criteria for that website. Because there's some other good films, especially some older films that are out there, that have good, strong messages for the Lord. People have never heard of.
Yeah.
You know, they're on DVD. They're affordable prices. And so if a person's really looking for Christ-centered films to help build them up in the faith,
right.
You know, we've got some films.
There's some place
to go. And I want to share one other thing,
sure.
too. This is just as a testimony to Christian films. Back in 1987, I moved from Arkansas to Seattle, Washington, and I got rid of my TV set. This is in 1987.
Mm-hmm.
And all I did from the course and for a year in about 1988, I watched Christian films after Christian films. I probably saw 70 or 80 Christian films during the course of 1 year. And the impact in the ministry it had in my life, when you have Christ-centered messages coming at you, this changes you for the better,
yes.
not for the worse.
Yeah.
And I saw the evil of Hollywood, and I saw the evil that's being offered on TV. So I just want to encourage people, turn to Christ and Christ-centered films. it'll have a positive effect as it did in my life. I know it will.
Yeah, that's a great place to end the interview with that word of encouragement to the listening audience. Dave, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the opportunity. Thank you, and God bless you.
You too.
Thank you.
Okay, that was my interview with Dave Cristiano, and Dave gave his website there as well during that interview, and so you can go out there and check that out. And like he mentioned, there's a lot of films that are available there for you to be able to look through those, and so you can certainly go there in order to check out what the great work that Dave and his brother Rich Cristiano are doing. A lot of Christian families, you know, are looking for good Christian films that they can watch with their family, and something that they don't have to be concerned about or ashamed about. That website for them, again, is, by the way, www.christianfilms.com. That's christianfilms.com. Let me go ahead and take this opportunity to thank David Nunnery from the folks over there at Teach Them Diligently Convention for giving us the space to be able to go there during the convention and conduct some of those interviews. We really had a wonderful time over there. We could only do it for one day, but we had a number of great interviews, the one with Ken Ham, Dave Cristiano there, Colin Gunn, and others that we were able to do. So I want to thank David Nunnery for that ability to do that. By the way, they have one more convention that is taking place. It's going to take place, this one, in Omaha, Nebraska, and it's going to take place from May 30th until June 1st. So if you happen to be in that area or know of someone in that area, you can go out to the teachthemdiligently.net website, and you'll find out about all the speakers that are going to be there at that event as well. That website, again, is www.teachthemdiligently.net. That's teachthemdiligently.net. By the way, the interview that I did with Ken Ham during that time there at the convention that we filmed, that's available out on sermonaudio.com/knowingthetruth as well. As I mentioned yesterday, I received, I think it's up over 2,000 downloads already. And that entire interview was about a Christian school that has been attacked by atheists here locally. And that Christian school is Blue Ridge Christian Academy. I am actually speaking tomorrow at Blue Ridge Christian Academy. I've been asked to speak during their chapel. I think it's one of the last chapels that they'll have for this year. And so I'm speaking from Galatians chapter 2 on the subject of faith and how our Christian faith, specifically justification by faith from Galatians chapter 2, how that enables us to go through difficulties and times of trouble in our Christian life. And so I'll be talking about that tomorrow morning during the chapel message there at the Blue Ridge Christian Academy. They do need your help, and so if you can go out to their website and offer your help there, that would certainly be wonderful as well. Let me say a word here. During the break, we ran on sermonaudio.com, we were running the part of the trailer for a film that's called firstdonoharmfilm.net. That's www.firstdonoharmfilm.net. And that film, it's a short dramatic film, and it deals with the pro-life issues from a very unique perspective. Just go out to their website in order to check out that film. There's different ways that you can actually participate in that film. They're currently raising money. They're looking to raise about $35,000 in order to be able to put that film into production later on this year. They have some supporters that are already out there, and they're offering all sorts of perks for those who would like to get involved. Everything from being able to digitally download then the finished product, to having a collector's edition, to assign movie posters, to a walk-on role, to actually becoming an associate producer of the film, or a producer or an executive producer of the film. So they've got a unique system out there in order to raise money to put this film on. It looks like it's going to be really good. You can go out to their website to find out all the details. www.firstdonoharmfilm.com. www.remembering.net. Yesterday on the broadcast, I was talking about remembering. Well, remember to go to church this Lord's Day. Get together with the people of God. And remember this. Jesus said, He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We'll see you next time right here on Knowing the Truth.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.
Life and Liberty Radio, Christian Talk 660, WLFJ Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson on AM 660, and also on FM 92.9.